Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
For the real rock star of the evening, everybody.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Hey, let's give it up for Gimmick from Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Great to have all of you here with us in Des Moines, Iowa. Who's ready to grow? Yeah, that's how we get started here, folks. That's how we get started. Well, welcome to Des Moines, Iowa. Great town. I know when you heard we were coming to Des Moines, some of you probably thought we were crazy, but we don't look crazy now, do we? The weather looks good. We have a fantastic company that we're going to tour. But first of all, how many of you in the room, this is your first time at Grow? So some of you may not even have any idea who I am. I want you to know, the most important thing I want you to know about Marty Grunder is that I am a real live landscaper. And I'm dealing with all the challenges that you are dealing with. Our company president, Seth, is in the room here, and we're growing our business just like all of you. And no matter how big or small the businesses in the room are, we all have something to learn, right? And I can't say enough about the team at RJ and Vince and Emily and Lindsay from our team, what they've worked on the last literally 12 months to make sure that the next 2.5 days are special. It's tremendous. And you also need to understand myself up here. I'm pretty emotional running up here right now because as I go through the crowd, I saw a lot of smiles. I saw a lot of positive, enthusiastic people. And while I guess it would be nice for me to call my wife and say 800 people showed up to see me, that's not why you showed up. You showed up to see one another. And the ideas that we are going to be able to share the next couple days with one another on a quest towards getting our business better are unparalleled in the green industry. This is the finest educational experience in the green industry, bar none. And the fact that you'd took the time and spent the money to come here means a lot to us. And we're going to do everything we can here the next couple days to make sure this experience is tremendous from the very first minute we have here until we close. You with me? Yeah. RJ Lawn and Landscape is a fascinating company. And in many ways, when we talk about our vision at the Grow Group and what we're trying to do, which is to improve the lives and businesses of the owners and leaders of landscaping companies, I'm not sure we've ever had anybody do it any better than RJ did. And this is a picture of myself. And if you look in the back of the picture, you can see Ryan and Annette in the back there. And that's from 2016, which was the first time I came to Des Moines, Iowa. And I'm a small town guy. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. So I'm really fond of Des Moines, Iowa. Now, Annette has told me that there's a lot better restaurants here than there are in Dayton, Ohio. And after being here, this is my 7th time to Des Moines. Annette, I would have to agree with you. They're better here. Had a fabulous dinner last night at Proudfoot and Bird. If you've don't have plans tonight, I'd highly recommend it. But there's like 10 great places to go. But Des Moines, Iowa is full of hardworking, very, very nice people. And I want to focus on the nice. And to see where they've come, that picture right there in 2016, I believe their sales were around $1.8 million. And last year they did $10 million. When we decide who we're going to have a host for Grow, it's very, very important that we pick one that's relatable. And something I often talk about is I want to be able to see their taillights. And sure, RJ may be ahead of many of you in the room. Maybe some of you are ahead of RJ, okay, in certain areas. Just depends. We're not here to debate that. But what I'm here to tell you is that they're very relatable. And what you're going to see tomorrow in their tour is a lot of different things. Their drive is off the charts. I don't think they've missed a grow since, they've probably been to 8 or 9 straight grows. They're an active member in our peer group, and Ryan and Annette cannot stop trying to make that business better. And they're constantly looking for new ideas. And they're humble people. And when you're humble, you realize that you can help someone when they're humble, when they're nice, when they don't act like they have it all figured out. And they don't. You're going to see some of their warts tomorrow. They're on full display. We often joke, grow is like having 750 people rifle through your underwear drawers. It's not necessarily the most pleasant experience. When you put yourself out there, folks, you get better. And when you're nice, you get better. And so in the opening remarks here, I just want to frame what this whole conference is all about. And I want you to contemplate where you are in your life and in your business. And I want you to relate to the words on the screen right here, which says, nice people don't finish last. How kindness fuels success. How many of you have seen people being unkind to one another as part of your daily lives lately? Raise your hand. Yeah, there's a lot of it. And rather than me dwell on all my negative experiences in the past couple weeks or even years, or show you quotes and statistics about how mean people are, let's just agree that there are a lot of mean people out there. There's a lot of nice people too. Now, when we talk about being nice, we normally don't see that in an airport. Would you agree? And Emily's going to be very upset for me saying this, but when I was flying from Dayton to Iowa Sunday night, I always worry when I transfer through Chicago O'Hare International. Sorry, Emily. Because that airport, I've spent seemingly a big part of my life, and then my buddy Jared Henson and I have spent the other half of our life in the Charlotte airport. That's a whole other story. My flight was delayed in Dayton, and the people in the terminal, a full flight, little regional jet, and the people in the terminal, they were getting ticked. The gate agents weren't saying what was going on. I've traveled long enough to know don't go up there and act like you're more important than everybody else and tell them you've got to get to Des Moines, Iowa. Worst case scenario, I could drive to Des Moines. Worst case scenario, I'll fly to Chicago at some point. I'll spend the night in Chicago. I'll go see my mother-in-law. I'll get here. I've learned how to calm myself down. But I still had a lot of anxiety and a lot of angst. And as we landed in Chicago O'Hare International, if you land there in the regional jet terminal and you're familiar with it, you taxi for like 10 or 15 minutes. So when we landed, I looked on the map and I had to go from gate E4 to gate B21. And I looked on the app and it said it was a 16-minute walk. Simultaneously, I'm getting a message from United saying that the plane is now boarding. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm glad I've been working out so I can run through the opening of Grow and do Thunderstruck without being winded. We're going to put this thing to the test and see what happens. We land, we start taxiing, and I'm starting to get revved up. I'm putting all my stuff away. I'm getting ready to get out. And I get this text from United Airlines. I did not make this up. This isn't a joke. Read it. And the text says, if you go on down there, it says, take a deep breath. We're holding your next flight for a few extra minutes. You'll arrive at gate E4. We and your fellow travelers would appreciate it if you could make your way directly to B21. They're holding the plane for Marty Grunter. Holy smokes. I might actually travel United Airlines again. I don't think we understand the little things we can do to be nice. And United Airlines made my day. I ended up arriving in Des Moines Sunday night early, came over here, and was able to do what I needed to do. I'm really not much help to Vince and Emily and Lindsay. They've got this thing so well run, but I wanted to be here for support. I wanted to be here if they needed somebody to go to Kinko's or go pay a parking ticket or go get lunch. That's kind of how useful I am once we get to grow. Wanted to be nice. And I think we're grateful for all the nice people that we meet, maybe more so today than ever. We see bad behavior everywhere, folks. We see it in social media. We see it in airports, we see it in stores, we see it at sporting events. We see things that we look at and we shake our head and we just don't really understand why they're doing that. But when people are kind, it makes an impact. It makes a tremendous impact. My late great mother that passed away when we were hosting Grow at Your Place, Michael, in Colorado in 2019, probably the nicest lady I ever met in my life. Even when she was dying of a brain tumor, she was nice. I gave her pink boxing gloves and I told her to wear them. And when she knew I was coming, when I'd go into her hospital room or even in the last 3 weeks when she was at hospice, she had the gloves on and she raised her head up. And even though her voice was getting cracky, she said, hi, Marty, love you, I'm fighting. She was so nice. She always had something nice to say. no matter what happened to me, a bad grade, quit the baseball team junior year because I really wasn't that good, other things I was doing. I remember when I introduced her to my wife, Lisa, she said, "She is so nice. You need to marry her." I listened. My mom was nice. I'm sure you can think of your mom right now or your dad or someone that's been nice to you and what a difference they make in your life. We can be ones, folks, who stand out in a sea of sameness if we're kind to others. And it's fun to be kind. It's fun. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, where's this used to be redhead, now gray hair guy going? Why should we be nice to one another? Because, as my mom would often say, and I wouldn't be surprised if your mom said the same thing, what goes around comes around. All right, clicker.
The lesson of Blauman is that when your boss screams at you, you never scream back. That's why there's a little thing in corporate America I like to call the chain of screaming.
Chain of screaming?
Yes. The chain of screaming starts at the top. Arthur's boss's boss screams at Arthur's boss. Arthur's boss screams at Arthur.
You need to get
Arthur screams at you. You go home and scream at Lily. Lily screams at one of the kids in her kindergarten class. Then that kid screams at her dad, Arthur's boss's boss. And the whole thing starts all over again, thus completing the circle of screaming.
Anybody relate? Yeah, we can relate. And you know, all of us are engaged in making our businesses better here. And I think where this relates to us is the owner yelling at the operations manager about a job that came in over budget, or you forgot to do a detail, or you didn't call a client back, whatever it is. The operations manager then takes that out on the team leader and yells at them. And then the team leader goes and yells at the crew, and the crew yells at who? The customer. It just goes around and around and around. And you know, if you've been following me for years, you've heard me say many times that your external customer service will never exceed your internal customer service. And it may seem kind of silly in some regards to open up a conference like Grow talking to you about being nice, but I'm hope you're getting the message here. There's a lot of little things that make our business work better over a prolonged period of time. Being nice is certainly one of them, and I don't see how you could argue with that. So I think the question may become, what makes people nice? So I thought about it when I put my remarks together. And I think number one, in the business environment, what makes people nice is they give people the benefit of the doubt. We talk a lot about this with our team at Grunder Landscaping. Seth, our company president, has been working extremely hard with our team to understand the power of giving someone the benefit of the doubt in a teamwork situation where you're trying to make your business better. And it's tough because teams, you know, we spend more time with each other in many cases than we do our families. And it's human nature, I think, to want to blame somebody else. And we look for somebody to blame instead of working on the solution. And giving others the benefit of the doubt is extremely important. And we give someone the benefit of the doubt when we ask questions. There's all kinds of things. And you may not know this about Vince and myself and Emily. It's primarily Vince and I. We don't celebrate. Like, we have a record turnout at Grow. The tour that we're going to go on tomorrow is so incredible. And Vince and I will rejoice for a short amount of time, but then we'll get right back on to trying to figure out how we can get better. And I've already got a note started of things that I like that I see here and things that I think we could do better. Now's not the time for me to approach my staff about the things that we could do better. And often, and I will tell you, Seth, who's in the audience, doesn't like when I say this, but I haven't figured out a better way to say it. Like, pick your battles. Pick your battles. Now's not the time after my team just worked their tail off to go critique something. And by the way, the things I've seen here that I want to change, they are like minuscule details, super small things. But we manage this way. We don't ask questions. We assume the worst, and we go right into the accusation. Your crew comes back. They've been working all day. You're in Texas, it's 105 degrees, they come back, they look like hell, they smell awful, the truck's dirty, they got mud all over the place, shirt tails are out, hats are on backwards, there's all kinds of things you don't like, and you go up and you chastise them for all of that right on the back pad of the shop. No, that's not the time to do that. That's the time to give them all cold water or Gatorade or tell them thank you and tell them you appreciate what they're doing. Let it go. Ask questions. Give your team the benefit of the doubt. When we are inquisitive, we go a lot further with our team in terms of the relationship that we have with them than when we're accusatory. So benefit of the doubt. Number two, practice, notice, pause, allow. Anybody know this one? Raise your hand if you ever heard notice, pause, allow. So I'm going to share with you some issues that I've had. I have had an issue with anger management. My father passed away unexpectedly almost 24 years ago. And it was very, very hard. My dad went into the hospital. He was a Korean War vet. He got treated for post-traumatic stress disorder. He battled depression. And I couldn't find my dad for a couple days. I went and found him, and I took him to the hospital. And unfortunately, my dad never left. I had a pulmonary embolism, and he passed away in the hospital. And it was really tough because I'm an entrepreneur. And what do entrepreneurs do? We try to solve things, not mess them up, right? So I went and saw a psychologist for about 6 months, and she was very, very helpful and helped me get through that and taught me a lot of other things. I don't know 24 years ago that I could have stood up on stage and told you this, but I'm telling you this because what I learned from her was a lot of leadership. About 5 years ago, my wife says to me, Marty, I think you need to go back and see Dr. Pastilli. You're getting too mad too fast about stuff that doesn't matter. I said, yeah, I know. I never hit anyone or anything like that. Just way too intense. Not very nice. Forgetting about all the wonderful things people had done and focusing in on the bad and not being nice at all. And the notice, pause, allow was something Dr. Pastilli taught me and allow you to take it in. So many things happen to us and we just like get right into it. We almost get sucked into all these traps instead of just noticing it. Okay, this is happening. I don't like it, but I'm not going to let anybody tell by my nonverbal body language that it's bothering me. I'm going to just notice it. I'm going to take some deep breaths, going to do some tactical breathing. I'm just going to allow it. I'm just going to allow it. I'm just going to wait and see. Let me think. Is somebody's life in danger here? Do I really need to react? I'm just going to allow it. And I'm going to go about my day, and I'm not going to respond to it, and I'm going to give myself time to process it. Because, folks, when we are angry, Dr. Pastilli told me, nobody hears your message. All they see and feel is your anger. And it's very true. You know, this is kind of funny, but when you hear somebody yelling, are you like, where's that coming from? That is so beautiful. Let me run over there. That's awesome. I love how you yell. No, nobody does that. And I yelled too much. And it didn't get across the message that I wanted to get across. It's okay if we walk away, if it lets us process these things and take, right? So give someone the benefit of the doubt, notice, pause, allow, admit when we're wrong. I learned this one a long time ago. I will have been married to Lisa 31 years, July 10th. Very proud of that. She's a wonderful woman. She would get very mad at me because she would be mad at me, and I would say, I know, I'm sorry, you're right. And I did it the first time, and she was like, well, okay, thank you. And then I started to pick up on, like, when you admit when you're wrong, it's really hard to argue with that person. So I started doing it all the time, and that pissed her off. I remember her saying, I want to argue with you. Just last week, I experienced the power of what happens when we admit that we're wrong. One of our top clients has a property manager that works for them that's a little rough around the edges. I think he's a pretty nice guy, but he's used to working with contractors and he uses foul language. And two of our snow managers that just got done working basically 36 hours straight in a decent-sized snow event we had, he called them up bitching, and what I heard through them was that they said, hey, so-and-so's mad at you. And I said, well, what did he do? Well, he cussed us out. We got it, but he's mad, and I just wanted you to know. And I said, he cussed you out. Like, what did he say? And they said, well, it's okay, Marty. We got it. It's heat of the moment. I don't like that, folks. When I hear that somebody's swearing, I go and I talk to the client. So I emailed the client and said, hey, I understand you're upset with us. I want to come in and see you face-to-face. And he didn't answer my email. And I think he knew that he pushed the wrong button there. So I called him. And I said, hey, it's Marty Grunder. I said, did you get my email? He's like, yeah, I know he got it. He said, no, what was it about? I said, well, can I come in and talk to you? And he said, yeah, sure. So I go into the building that we take care of. It's this whole little campus. And I go up to the sixth floor where his office is. And I go in his office. And I'd never been in his office, which I should have been in the office before, because he does manage a significant amount of work that we perform for him. And I sit down, and the very first thing out of his mouth when he looks at me, he says, Marty, I'm sorry. I yelled at your guys, and I shouldn't have. What am I supposed to say to that? I know how my wife fought, because I wanted to, like, I was kind of locked and loaded for this guy, for cursing at my guys, and I was going to do it professionally, but I was going to say, hey, don't do that. We had a great conversation. And I said to him, I said, hey, listen, I now totally understand why you were upset. It's warranted. Do me a favor. The next time you feel you're going to blow, call me and blow on me, because it's my company and everything is ultimately my fault, and we'll work this out. The next day he sends me an email saying, thanks for coming out and talking. I can see why you're so successful. We can win a lot more when we admit that we're wrong. We need to ask ourselves, what did I do or not do that's giving me the results that I don't want? And then we apologize when we need to. At the end of the day, folks, who really cares who's wrong? Number four, build each other up. We build each other up if we're a team. When we're here this week, some of you are going to be around contractors that are smaller than you. Encourage them. Build them up. That's what GROW is all about. It's about growing whatever we want to grow. It's about growing our companies. It's about growing our teams. And in life, folks, there's more than just one first place trophy. Someone else winning doesn't mean you can't too. Seth, our company president, shared this quote with me about a year ago, and I just think it is so good, and I want to share it with you. Losers assemble in small groups and complain about the coaches and other players. Small group over here. Winners, rather, assemble as a team and find ways to win. Who wants to be a winner? Right? But the tendency is to pull us into that loser mentality. And ladies and gentlemen, comparison is the thief of joy. My good friend, New York Times bestselling author, speaker extraordinaire, tremendous mentor and pal to me. We call or text at least once a week. He's just a great guy. He's been at GROW, but he's retired from speaking, and he won't even come to GROW and speak for his pal Marty, which really ticks me off, but I still love Joe. He said to me one day, 15 years ago, we were talking about attitudes, and he says, Marty, I'm optimistically paranoid. I think everyone is out to help me. Well, that is funny. But imagine what your life could be like if that's how you went through it, looking at it that way. Practice gratitude every day. I think GROW is a wonderful time to get detached from everyday work and to think about what you're grateful for, to really, truly think about what you're grateful for. I woke up this morning at 5:30. I looked at my phone. I went to my Twitter feed. And the very first tweet I read was Toby Keith singing, Don't Let the Old Man In. And I don't know if you haven't watched it. Anybody watch that today? It'll make you cry. I'm grateful. I sent it to my wife. She responded. She said, that's beautiful. Cancer is everywhere. She said, that's why we should be grateful for every day we have and tell people that we love them. Lisa strikes again. And I'll close here with a short little story. The sun and the wind were having a tremendously heated debate about who was more powerful. And they saw a gentleman walking down the street in a long trench coat, and they decided, let's see who's more powerful by who can get the man to take off his trench coat. The wind said, I'll go first. And as the man's walking down the street in his trench coat, the wind comes up from behind, from the front, from the top, from underneath, and blows with great power. And all the man does is grab his coat, stiffen up, and pull it closer. The wind continues to blow and to try to get the coat off, and he can't budge it. Finally, frustrated and tired, he says, okay, let me take a break. You give it a shot, son. The son calmly goes over the top of the gentleman in the trench coat walking down the street, just hovers up above him in a very nice and compassionate way, A couple more blocks down the road, the man in the trench coat gets warm and hot and sweaty and takes the trench coat off. And the son said, I win. Understand what that fable is saying. We can be the wind. We can be aggressive. We can push. We can shove. We can yell. We can scream. We can degrade. We can make wrong conclusions about people. Or we can be calm. We can be friendly. We can be nice. We can be the sun. Be the sun, folks. The sun is shining on Des Moines, Iowa today and this week as we get Grow started. Let's work together to be nice, and let's find ways collectively to make all of our businesses better here this week in Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.